Why is it the same repetitive mistakes continue to rob salespeople of more commission checks, regardless of industry, size of company, or region of the globe? These same inhibitors are holding us back from reaching our full potential. Amongst many industry awards, Ian Selby achieved the accolade of top salesperson in the world at Apple. And in this podcast, he will discuss the issues that sales professionals encounter from his own experiences, confessing to the problems he has endured and how he overcame them, giving the benefit of his wisdom to everyone listening who work in the world of sales. To help you, he will reveal strategies to overcome the issues hurting salespeople and helping you reach new levels of sales success. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Less sins, more wins. With your host, Ian Selby.
Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a gentleman by the name of William Buist from Oxford, England, across the pond. William enables business owners to become the masters of their markets, operate more effectively, and stand out from their competitors. With a strategic focus on building better business every day, his clients are at the heart of their work, making better decisions and empowered to excel. William thrives at supporting his clients as they develop better resonant understanding of their strategic intentions to create a company that is more aligned with their purpose. He knows that by asking the right questions, effective decisions will result. Those judgments will be based on a deeper, more complete understanding because of an unbiased analysis of the appropriate elements. William prides himself in his well-honed skills, posing questions that unlock blocks and barriers. William is a professional speaker, a business mentor, and the author of Intentional Mastery: Step Beyond Your Expertise and Build Better Business. He's a keen photographer, walker, and skier. William, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ian, and I'm delighted to be here. It's lovely to talk to you. We've spent some time over the last couple of weeks exchanging messages and getting to know each other a bit, and it's been real fun. So I think we'll have a great conversation today.
Absolutely, and thank you for staying up late. I know you're 8 hours ahead of me here as you're in the UK and I'm in the West Coast. So thank you for hanging in there and making the schedule work.
A pleasure.
Again, William, thank you for taking the time. On behalf of all the listeners, we appreciate your time and your insights. If it's okay, I'd love to ask you a few questions. The word mastery, you know, that is a huge word. And you know, what does mastery mean to you? And why does it actually matter, William?
Great question about why it matters. I'll come to that. I've been working with small business owners and business leaders for most of my life. I've worked in corporate world in the insurance industry for a number of years and then set up my own business. And in all of those roles, I've been watching how people develop their knowledge and skill and experience and thinking about the journey they go on to build their expertise and for some of them to go even beyond that and to become a master. And what I've seen is that, you know, when we start out with something new, we're explorers. We don't have the knowledge that we need, but so we'll go out and we'll read a lot and we'll talk to people who know more about that topic and we'll get to know some of the facts and the knowledge that we need. We become a novice and we're trying to do something then where we haven't yet honed the skill. I'm sure some of your listeners will have tried to play a musical instrument or learn a language they didn't know. But those early days, you know, we make lots of mistakes, and that's okay because it's part of the learning process. And eventually we get to the point where we're reasonably good at what we're doing, provided it's not too unexpected. You know, it's as we'd expect it to be. And I call that stage practitioner. And the practitioners, a lot of our teams in business will be practitioners at what they do, you know, good at the day-to-day work. But when something unexpected happens, they may be thrown a bit and they need somebody with more experience to help them out. And of course, experience and expertise go hand in hand. So the practitioners become experts by building experience. And for a lot of people, that's kind of where they stop. So they've gathered knowledge, they've honed skills, they've built experience, and they're now really, really good at what they do. They can do it in most contexts, and they don't really think about it that much. You know, we do things automatically. But the masters do something else. They look for insight in other areas of their life. They look for things they can bring to bear that help them understand their expertise in a deeper way, and perhaps in a very narrow niche as well. And that's where the mastery piece comes in. And in doing that, in seeking out those insights, they also uncover all those elements that have become unconscious again. So that unconscious competence becomes conscious once again, and they're able to pass it on. They recognize in their team and in any team they're leading the needs of the other people so that they can really stretch them, give them knowledge if that's what they need, help them to hone their skills if they're at that stage, give them opportunities to have experience in a safe environment if they're moving from practitioner to expert. And all because they've taken time to really understand their skill and be able to express it and explain it simply. So why does it matter? It matters because I think it's really important for leadership to be able to do that last piece, to be able to bring people on wherever they are on the journey and to move them on to the next stage. And it's important because it gives us as individuals, you know, a great deal more pleasure and enjoyment if we really deeply understand the work we're doing and are drawing on the whole of our lives to make it the most successful we can be.
Well, that's so wonderfully said, William. I love the steps. So the first step, as you said, was novice. And we all, you know, we typically all begin there. We need to begin there and make mistakes and learn from our mistakes. And then we get good at it. And you call that the practitioner.
Yeah.
And so that's the example that as you're good at doing it. But that third step, the step to mastery, is being able to become expert in it enough that you're able to pass it on to others. So learning, doing, and being able to pass it on, that leads you right to as you so well said, William, to leadership. So a wonderful staircase for us all to know about and realize where we're at and how we can keep going up the stairs, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, you talk about, you know, it in your intro, the bio about decision making. And, you know, that's a huge thing for leadership. So how can you make effective decisions, William, every time? How does that happen?
Well, I think it plays to the last point I was making about gathering insights from all areas of your life. Also in the intro, you mentioned, you know, I'm a keen photographer. I've been taking photographs, you know, from a teenager all my life. And more recently, I've kind of really got to that level of expertise with photography where I can see an opportunity to take a great photograph and then, you know, compose it properly. Well, that's about decision making. It's about looking into the environment and seeing the opportunities and being able to express those opportunities in a way that enables people to see what you're seeing. And I see there's a great analogy there to the way that decision making is done in business, that we need to have enough information to be able to paint the picture and to gather the facts around what that picture is telling us. And the better we're able to communicate, and that another piece of mastery, you know, that the best leaders tend to be great communicators. And they're using language that lands with the people they're talking to rather than language that they themselves understand. We can all talk in jargon, but that won't pass the message across. So the masterful communicators will be asking questions, seeking and making sure that their understanding has passed to the other people and listening to the input that they have and the insights that they have in order to inform the decision. Pretty much every business decision is taken with imperfect knowledge. You know, it's very rare that we have every bit of information we need. We usually have to make some assumptions and be ready to change the decision slightly if those assumptions prove not to be true. But the masters of decision making will have listened a lot and listened carefully to all of the inputs they've got in from all of their team and others from outside the team, and be able to paint that picture of here's the decision, here's how we have concluded we need to make that decision, the information we need and the information we've got, and then we'll make the decision. But importantly, they'll also check after they've made the decision that any assumptions they were making prove to be true. so that they can adapt and change the decision slightly if they need to.
Makes complete sense. So, you know, without information, you know, strategy is it's just an oxymoron. You can't do it. You need the insight, as you said, William, the information to make these decisions. And then I agree with you that some of the best leaders I've ever had the privilege of working for, I think of one, Steve Jobs, the founder CEO of Apple. He was brilliant at communicating and inspiring people almost with a contagious vision that became everyone. The buy-in level was so high. I love what you said about listening as well, William. I mean, two ears, one mouth. If we use them that way, things will be better than if we don't. And if we don't have two mouths and one ear. So there's a reason for that. So we should listen more than we speak. Wonderfully said, my friend. I really, so mastery is the secret sauce. So we all want to get to mastery as soon as possible. Is there a way, William, to fast track mastery? Is there like some shortcuts or, you know, can we get there quicker?
Yeah, it's a question I'm often asked. You know, how do I jump from, you know, I'm a novice at the moment. How do I become a master next week?
Yeah.
Well, sadly, I don't think there is that kind of massive shortcut. There's no magic bullet that can take you directly to the end goal, if you like. But there are things that individuals can do to really help them accelerate the journey and to get there faster. The first of which is focus. You have to be really clear on what it is that you want to master. And I liken this to, you know, if you've never played a guitar and you pick it, I don't, by the way. So if there are any guitar players who are listening who think what I'm about to say is nonsense, they're probably right, but it's an analogy. So it'll work for this purpose. You pick up a guitar, you've never played it before. You don't even know what the strings are called or anything like that. You're not going to be able to play a great tune. You need to practice and you need to hone it, but you also need to know where you're going. So if you wanted to learn the guitar, you could learn all the different guitar styles, you know, flamenco or rock and roll or, you know, any of those things. But actually, if you know from the start which genre of guitar playing you want to learn, then you will get there faster because you'll focus on the skills that genre needs. And I think the same is true in business. If we're, you know, aiming to lead a big multinational, international company, and at the moment we're a startup, then we need to focus on how do the people, well, like Steve Jobs, since you mentioned him, who, you know, started in a garage with his mate, you know, how did they grow their business to be the international success it is? And look at that. Rather than emulating somebody who's built a very successful local business that doesn't have ambitions to be international. So having that clarity of focus, really important. That helps speed it up. And the second is absolutely, the title of my book is Intentional Mastery. And both words are really important. The second is to be really intentional about the practice, the learning, the skill development that you're taking. Be conscious about everything that you're doing so that you say, I am going to focus on, you know, from my developing mastery of leadership or developing mastery of sales, for example. You know, if you're going to do that, then you need to really focus absolutely intentionally on what are the things I need to become better at this, and really, really hone in on it and keep focused on it. And then things will happen quickly.
Yes, I see what you're saying. So there is no secret sauce. There's no magic pill. There's no shortcut. Like many of the best things in the world, you've got to earn them and commit to that whole notion. But you can, as you said, William, accelerate the journey with clarity, lots of practice, and focus on the goal. Don't try and be a great guitar player, as you said. Be good at, you know, these 10 songs, right? Just focus on what the end goal truly is, just like the title of your book, Intentional Mastery, not Accidental Mastery.
Exactly.
It's got to be intentional. I like what you're saying. So everyone probably gets this who's listening. So these are some of the things we should do. William, maybe you could share with our listeners a little bit about some of the common strategic mistakes you've seen people make. You've been doing this for quite some time, very successfully. You must have seen a lot of blunders in your journey as well.
Oh, listen, I've made as many, maybe more than all the other people who run their own business. So, you know, it's partly through making those mistakes, of course, that I've learned about them too and learned how to put them right. I think the commonest thing, Ian, is people being taken off track. You know, especially early on in the journey when you're new to business or you first start a business or first get a new leadership role within a larger organization, you're not sure exactly where your focus should be. It's quite difficult to be crystal clear right at the outset. So, you know, opportunities arise. You may be, you know, I have an example of a training company that I know well, and they were training, and they had 3 or 4 training courses around leadership, actually, and we've been talking about that. And then, you know, their clients would come to them and say, oh, could you run a training course on time management? And they said, well, probably, yes, let's do that. And then, well, could you run a training course on HR? And, you know, gradually the focus of the business gets diluted by all these different strands that are each one a small step away from the original purpose of the business. And so they become, you know, in the old saying, you know, they become practitioners, if you like, of many, many things rather than master of a few. And you're really focusing back on what was the reason we started this business in the first place, or what is the reason this business exists? I use Apple as an example again. Apple have, you know, always focused on the customer experience. What's it like to use their product? And making that easier and easier and easier so that, you know, when the iPad came along, you picked it, you know, there was no instruction manual because it doesn't need it. You just pick it up and see what it does, and it guides you through what you need to do to understand how to use it as a tool. And that's because they focused in and focused and focused and focused on the customer experience and made it as simple as possible. And if you do that, the mistakes around diluting your offer, going across many different things that are related but are not your core skill, that will really, really help.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. They're getting off track. And I know when I started my business, I was guilty too 25 odd years ago. Whoever had some money and wanted me to do something for them, whether it was about sales training or sales leadership, I was like, well, I'll take your money, sure. Oh, now I have to do this. I have to do an audit. Well, what's an audit? I better look that up. And so getting off track, it's an easy thing. And you know, dilute, as you say, William, it dilutes everything. And so as you were speaking, I was thinking, yeah, generalist versus specialist.
Yes.
There's a big deal there. What we want is a big reputation for a few things, not an average reputation for many. Thanks. And so keeping the focus, and it takes some discipline, right? Because there are distractions, there are opportunities that aren't, you know, right on your in your lane that you have to take an off ramp to get to. And yeah, that takes away from your focus. That's yeah, great. That words of wisdom there, William, for sure. Absolutely. So one more question for you, my friend. If you know you are doing the right things, why aren't we getting the results then? If we think we're doing all the right things, right? We're going from, you know, from novice to practitioner on the road to mastery. We think we're on track, but why aren't the results there yet?
But I think there's a number of things that happen along this journey. And the first, we've talked about one of the big mistakes, the diluting of what you do and becoming master of nothing really, but, you know, practitioner of many things. But there's another side to that. And that is that as you narrow down the things that you do and really focus on the ones that you want to be the very best at, the market that you're serving will tend to do two things. First of all, it will tend to start coming towards you rather than you having to go out and seek it. So for the salesmen who are listening to this call, when you're master of what you do as a business, the phone starts ringing because people are hearing that, you know, if they need sales training, go to Ian Selby. You know, it's the word is out that you're the go-to supplier. And so people start finding you. But before that happens, you've got to build this reputation. And in that period, it it can feel like you're doing all the right things, but you're still having to work really hard to win business and to get people to understand it. So to help with that, you know, what I really recommend is that you spend time listening to the customers who are really getting value from you. Understand the way they talk about you. You'd be surprised. Amazing. I went to some of my clients a couple of years ago, and I said to them, I know what I sold you, but what did you get?
Right.
And the information they gave me back about what how they saw what I was providing was gold dust in terms of, and it was gold dust because I was then able to use that language, their language, not my language, in the marketing that I did. And that meant that people really got what I did, because it was no longer me saying it from the inside out. It was people saying it from the outside in. And that made a massive difference. So, you know, for the people on your call, you know, I'm listening to the podcast, I really recommend go and talk to your, you know, your favorite clients, the ones that, you know, really get great value from what you do, and ask them, just ask them a simple open question about, you know, what is it that you really like about what we do, or what have you had from us, or some question like that. And then really listen carefully, you know, if you can record the conversation, and use the language that your clients use, because that will help to get through that period when you know you're doing the right thing, but it's not yet giving you the real results you want.
So well said, William. And I totally aligned with you on this. Like, what are we after in business, or as a sales leader, a leader in a business, or as a sales professional? We want a referenceable brand and reputation. So that it stands for something. And I love the analogy of the phone starts to ring. We're not just dialing it. Every salesperson listening to this is wanting more of that. I'm absolutely certain. And it's about listening to customers, the good old fashioned listening skills, where we can clarify and quantify the value proposition through the lens of the customer experience. We may think, here's what we sell. It does X, Y, Z. Here's the benefits. But what does it do for you? It's that for you part that really helps us to hone our message, hone our value proposition, and put it into customer context, because that's what they get. Love what you said there, William. Completely aligned with your thinking, my friend. So you have, I am sure, stimulated a lot of insights and thoughts and intrigue in our listeners today. I'm sure the listeners are asking already, isn't it? Ask them the question. How can we get a hold of you, William, or get our hands on one of your books? What would be the best source of reach out?
Cool. Well, there's two things that I'd invite people to do. The first is the book is available on Amazon, so you can look it up there and buy it from Amazon. Intentional Mastery will find it, or use my name, William Buist, B-U-I-S-T. The second thing is on my website, the William Buist website, there is an audit which is open to anybody to complete. Takes a few minutes, really. It asks 20 questions, all of them on a scale of 0 to 5, where you think you are on that journey to mastery, and this, you know, an explanation of what each of the scores mean. That's at audit.williambuist.com. It doesn't produce an automated report. It's partially automated, but I will be looking at this results that you've completed there, and if somebody's on LinkedIn, I'll probably have a look at their LinkedIn profile as well, and see what I can learn about their business from both sources. And then it offers 3 or 4 pieces of advice in terms of moving forward on your journey to mastery as quickly as you can. So that's open to anybody who's listening. I'd be delighted to provide you with that bit of advice if I can, and get in touch and have a conversation.
That's fantastic. So there's a book on Amazon. The name again is Intentional Mastery. And there's an audit on William's website, which is like free. And William, it's not just automated. William will spend some effort and give you some advice, which is a fabulous offering for our listeners, William. Again, my friend William, I'd like to thank you very, very much for spending the time and sharing your expertise and knowledge with our listeners. Greatly appreciate your time today, William.
A pleasure, Ian, and thank you for your time too. And And let's hope that we all have a really successful rest of 2023 and beyond.
Absolutely. Thank you again, William. And thank you all for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoryou.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Lessons, more wins. With Ian Selby.